is Mark chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 14. Mark chapter 6, and from verse 14. I'm not going to read all the verses, I'll jump some. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or is one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." And then we'll look at verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "You give them to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?" He says to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat them down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. When he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed, and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. We might go further. We'll see how we get on. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus and his disciples had been involved in a lot of work, and Jesus had divided his disciples up, sent them out 2 by 2. So they were covering more ground, more area, and preaching the gospel. In fact, the disciples, it says in this scripture, the disciples had preached repentance. They preached that men should repent. They cast out demons. They anointed the sick, and they healed them. Into this story comes a few comments about Herod. Now, there are a number of Herods in the Bible. The Herod that was king of the Jews, ruling when Jesus was born, is not this Herod. He's the father of this Herod. This Herod that was king of the Jews when Jesus was born, he died, now get this, Herod the Great died in 4 BC. Now that should bring a few strange looks. He died in 4 BC. So how could that be when Jesus was born before he died? It's because they've messed the dates up. We are not really 2018 years after the birth of Jesus. It's no earlier than 2022. It might be 2023, 24, something like that. Jesus was born, scholars reckon, between 6, 7, 8 BC, somewhere around about there. Not before himself, but before the dating system. They got it wrong. But we're stuck with that dating system now, so we carry on with it. This Herod here, that we just read about tonight, is Herod Antipas, one of his sons. When Herod died, his kingdom was divided up into 4 areas. And so 3 of his sons, all called Herod, and this one was Herod Antipas, began to rule. They were called tetrarchs. They were rulers over a quarter of the kingdom. There were 4 rulers. The disciples, as I said, went out and they preached that men should repent, and they cast out demons, and they anointed the sick, and they healed. And news began to travel. Because Jesus had increased the output, not just him teaching and preaching, but he sent the disciples out. And they were seeing the gospel, the good news, being proclaimed in the same authority and power as Jesus. He gave them that authority. And they preached repentance, and men and women were repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. They were being healed. They were being delivered from demons. And of course, because it's going over a larger area, news is spreading, news is travelling of these wonderful things that are going on, and news reaches Herod's ears. He heard. Some people were saying, is Elijah come back? You know, Elijah never died. Elijah was called up to be with the Lord in a whirlwind. Some said it's Elijah, or one of the prophets anyway. But you see, Herod was a man with a troubled conscience. That does say something about him, because the Bible speaks about, a bit later on in the scripture, the Bible speaks about those whose conscience has been seared with a hot iron. He'd not reached that stage. He was troubled. He'd got a conscience about something that he had done. And when he thought, this is John the Baptist come back, he was troubled. This is what he thought. He thought that Jesus was John the Baptist come back. There are many saying, if you read Matthew chapter 16, that's an important chapter, but if you read Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 and 14, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he says to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this rock, what you've just said, what you've just confessed, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. But Herod had a troubled conscience. There was something niggling away. What was it? It's John the Baptist whom I beheaded. Herod had time for John the Baptist when he was alive. He spent a lot of time with him. But when we read the story here, the story of Herodias, his wife, and the one whom one of the other Gospels refers to as Salome, her daughter, we get the story of the dance that Herodias' daughter performed, you see. Herodias didn't like John the Baptist because John the Baptist said, you shouldn't be married to Herod. It's a bad marriage, it's a wrong marriage, it's wrong. Why shouldn't he be married to her? Well, actually, there's one reason that is not actually given in Scripture. Herodias was actually Herod's niece. He shouldn't have been married to her. She was his brother's daughter. But another reason was she'd been married already to Herod's brother, Philip. And he was still alive. He said, it's wrong, you should not be married to her. And Herodias hated John. And the reason John was in prison was because he had said that she should not be married to Herod. She hated John. But Herod, it says in verse 20, he says, Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and he observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things, and he heard him gladly. He got on quite well. He was quite happy to have these conversations with John the Baptist. But in verse 18, it tells us that John was in prison because he had said, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Then a convenient day came. It was Herod's birthday. There are two birthdays mentioned in the Bible. I mean, celebrations of birthdays. And we know the birth of Jesus in the Bible. But I mean, I'm talking about an annual celebration. Two birthday celebrations. They both ended up with people dying. One was Pharaoh's birthday in the time of Joseph, and the baker ended up being hanged. And the other one is Herod's birthday, when John the Baptist was executed. It was his birthday, and they made a supper for his lords and all the rest of it. And in verse 22, and the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and those that sat with him. And the king said to the damsel, very rash thing to do this. Very rash thing to do. Don't give anybody an open check, especially your wife. Or your husband. Don't give anybody a blank check. He said, ask me whatever you will, and I will give it you. He swear unto it, whatsoever you shall ask me, I will give it you unto the half of my kingdom. Wow. And she went back to Mum. What shall I ask for, Mum? You asked for the head of John the Baptist. Here was her opportunity to settle the score with John the Baptist. And so the request went back. I want the head of John the Baptist in a charger. And the king was upset. He was sorry. But he made that oath. And for the oath's sake, and for the sakes which sat with him, he would not reject that. And immediately, the same day, the same moment, he sent the executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went, beheaded him in the prison. And he brought the head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. The disciples of John the Baptist came and laid his corpse to rest in the tomb. The king was sorry. But the thing is, you see, this occurrence, what happened there, stayed with him. It tormented him. And when Jesus began to move out in that ministry of his and his disciples with him, and news was coming back of wonderful people, people being saved, of wonderful healings and deliverances, and people being set free from demonic powers, all he could think about was, is John come back to get me? It's John who might be headed. He's got a conscience about it. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have made that offer. He's got a conscience. The apostles, in verse 30, come back to Jesus. They told him of all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Their ministry had had such an effect, you see, that news has reached Herod. He was speaking even to this man who had done such vile things. And they told Jesus about all that they'd done, all that they'd taught. You know, it's good when we pray. We want to serve the Lord. We want to present our day before him. Lord, use me. It's good to seek the Lord's guidance and direction and his empowerment. But you know, there's something else here that the disciples show us. It's good to come back to Jesus and to report and say, thank you, Lord. Things went well today, and this happened and that happened. And we can, if you like, tune in at the end of the day and say, Lord, thank you for being with me. Thank you for answered prayer. They reported back. The Lord knows all our needs. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He knew what it was to be tired. People get the idea that he was some sort of superhero mode. Never got tired, never got weak. Jesus is the man, Christ Jesus. He lived as we live. He was without sin, but he lived as we live. And he knew what it was to get tired at the end of the day. He knew what it was like to get hungry at Jacob's well. He hungered on the cross. I thirst. And he suffered the pain and the agony of the cross. He knew what it was to live on earth as a human being. And he knew that these disciples needed to rest. It's good to be able to rest, isn't it? Not to be lazy, but to rest. There's a time for rest. There's a time to replenish those sources of energy that we've used up during the day. He says, come apart and rest a while. Let's go to a desert place where there's nobody to bother us. Let's go to some peaceful place and just rest for a while. You know, when we follow the Lord's leading and guidance, there's no opportunity for nervous breakdowns because you've been so caught up in the Lord's work history. No, it shouldn't be like that, should it? It's the Lord's work. Many, it says, were coming and going. There was no rest where they were. There was no leisure even to eat. And in verse 32, it says, they departed by ship. They went to a desert place privately. Privately. What happens? You know, sometimes it's difficult to win, if you like. They get to the desert place, and in verses 33, 34, it tells us that the people saw them departing, and when they knew where they were going, they could see what direction the ship was going in, they ran on ahead. And when they got to the other side or wherever they were going to, there were much people there ready to meet them as they came off the boat. Should have stayed in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the sea. But you know, even though they were tired, and this is what this verse 34 brings out to us. When Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, they'd just come here to get a rest, to replenish themselves, have a quiet meal together or something. Jesus didn't say, well, buzz off, it's our quiet time. We'll come back, you know, come back another day. Look what it says. It says, he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. He could see that they were lost souls. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And you know, we've got those stories in the Bible where the Lord tells the parable of the 100 sheep. And the shepherd's got one missing. What does he do? What does the shepherd do? He doesn't write that one sheep off. It's just one. He goes out into the desert. He goes out into the Rocky Mountains. He goes out wherever he has to, listening for the cry of the sheep, ready to rescue the sheep and bring it home again, rejoicing in his shoulders. Even though they were exhausted here and they'd gone to get rest, and they find the crowd there, Jesus had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And here he is, he's ready again. He began to teach them many things. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord's got many things to teach us. The Lord has got many things to teach us. Hallelujah. And he's always got time for us. This is a wonderful example. You would think that on this occasion he might have said, come back another day. But no, he's always got time for us. We saw it last week when Jairus was in that desperate situation where he wanted Jesus to get to where his daughter was dying before she died. And this woman came and touched the hem of Jesus' garment and held the whole thing up. But Jesus had time for her. And he knew what was going to happen when he got to Jairus' daughter. We just need to look at the Lord and know that he knows and understands all things, and all things are in his hands. In verse 35, the day is spent. They've used the whole day. It's evening time. Time is far past, said Jesus. Send them away, said the disciples. They may go, the disciples were saying. The time is far spent. Send them away. Let them go and find something to eat. But what did Jesus say to them? You think that there was the opportunity to say, to dismiss the crowd and say, you better go and find somewhere now to eat. Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He doesn't leave us to our own resources. He supplies. And he supplies again and again and again. And he provides for our every need. And there's nothing where he will say, well, go and sort it out yourself. He says to the disciples, and he will say to us as well, but he says to the disciples, you give them to eat. Hallelujah. And we might be praying for all sorts of problems in this area, and the Lord will say to us, you go and minister to them. Sometimes prayer is an easy way out. We think, well, we'll pray about it. We'll pray about that person. Leave you, Lord. And the Lord says, you go and minister to them. You go and meet their need. You go and pray with them. You go and speak to them. You give them to eat. Us? How are we going to feed them? 200 penny worth of food. 200 penny worth of bread. 200 penny worth was a lot of money. The penny was that's referred to here, the denarius. It was a silver coin. And it was a day's wages. So that's 200 days' wages, what you would earn for nearly two-thirds of the year. You could get quite a bit of food together for that. Think of what you earn over that sort of period of time. Should we go and buy them some bread? And he says to them, here it is again. We came across this before when we were looking at Samson. Samson used what he could find, what was at hand. He picked up the jawbone of an ass. What a weapon. But that's what there was there. And the Lord says to us, don't underestimate what you have. Don't say, oh, well, that's no good, and that's no good. Jesus said to them, how many loaves have you got? What have you got? And they say, five. Because we know from other versions of the story in the other Gospels that there was the lad who brought five loaves. So that was just that's for him. A little boy's food. Five loaves and two fishes. And what's that amongst so many? And Jesus said, sit them down. Jesus is showing them with what they've got, they can feed this multitude. Prepare now in faith. Don't say, what's the point of doing that? We've only got five loaves and two fishes. Jesus is organising them to move in faith. Get them sorted out in hundreds and fifties. Get them in some sort of order. Well, what do we do now? And Jesus took the five loaves and the two fishes and he blessed. He looked up to heaven and he blessed. He wasn't blessing the bread and the fishes. That's what people often do when they pray, say grace. Bless this food to us. He was blessing God. That's what the Jewish people do today when they pray before a meal. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed art thou, Lord God, King of the universe. They're blessing God, the provider, the supplier. He blessed and he broke the loaves. He gave them to the disciples, set before them, and the two fishes divided among them all. You can only try to imagine what it must have been like. 5,000 people, in fact, the Bible says a bit later on, 5,000, they were the men. The women and the children in the Jewish custom would have sat separately. the Jewish men, 5,000 men, plus the women and children. And you've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus is breaking it, giving it to the disciples. The disciples are giving it to the crowd. And the miracle is, as they're going, there's no sort of a sudden poof, and there's the bank that's great. They're just doing it. It's an act of faith. Every time they give to somebody, it's an act of faith. Will this last? And they keep giving. And in the end, they've supplied everybody. And it's not just everybody had a little mouthful. Everybody was satisfied. They were all fed. They were all satisfied. He says in verse 42, and they did all eat and were filled. Wow, that was some lunch. Well, evening meal, actually. That was some meal. And then they took up baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. How many? 12. One for each disciple. The principles involved in this should speak to us, that we can apply to other situations. Use what you have. We live in an age now where churches have got so, they've got so impressed by the way the world does things, that it's got to involve all this mighty planning and committee meetings and raising funds and all the rest of it. And the Lord just says, go with what you've got. 5,000. Just the men. You know, we rejoice that our God has promised to supply all our need according to his riches in glory. Amen. Here's the Lord providing for the need of these people. Yeah. And he'll supply all our need. We often refer to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, where it refers to the one, the Lord himself, who is able. And I'm often praying this in my prayers these days. Lord, I'm asking for this, but actually, I'm asking you who are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. That's what it says in Ephesians 3. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And whatever we ask, and however fantastic that may seem what we're asking for, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above that. You can't out-ask God. But the wonderful thing about that phrase in Ephesians 3 and verse 20 is this, that he says, and this comes back to the Lord saying, you give them to eat. What have you got? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. It's working in us. Jesus insists that the disciples do it. You give them to eat. We might pray to the Lord, oh Lord, do this, do that. And he says back to us, you do it. You do it. And all the crowd are still there. And the disciples, no doubt exhausted. The ones to whom Jesus said, come, let's go, come apart and rest a while. This is no rest so far. And so in verse 45, when the meal was over, straightway, it's that immediately again. It's the servant at work. Immediately, he constrained the disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. He had a concern now for his disciples. He says, you go, I'll sort the crowd out. Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. And when he had sent them away, and they'd gone in the ship, they were gone, he departed into a mountain to pray. The evening was come. The ship was in the midst of the sea. Jesus was alone on the land. And from where he was, he could see them toiling in rowing. The wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, the fourth watch of the night is between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. They set off in the evening. They've been going now for some 9 hours. 6 o'clock was when the night watches started. 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Fourth watch, after they've been toiling away there for some 9 hours or so, Jesus goes walking to them on the water. And when they saw him, they thought it was a spirit. And they cried out. They'd been with him all day. And there he was, and they didn't recognize him. And they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. See, it's the Lord again setting the troubled minds at rest. Be of good cheer. It says in the Authorized Version, it is I. It says in the Greek, I am. Be of good cheer. I am. That's who Jesus is. Hallelujah. The great I am. Be not afraid. He's the one, the mighty creator. By him, all that was created was made. Don't be afraid. He went into the ship. And when he was in the ship, the wind ceased. While he was walking on the water, the wind was still raging. He got into the ship, and it ceased. And they were amazed beyond measure and wondered. And it says here, they considered not the miracle of the loaves. It had only just happened a few hours ago, and already they've forgotten that miracle. And they're wondering about what they've just seen. They haven't let yet learned that he is the Lord. He can do all things. Nothing is impossible to him. Or that we might get that in our hearts and souls. There is nothing impossible to the Lord. All things are possible to him. They'd forgotten about the miracle, the last miracle a few hours ago. And they came to Gennesaret, to the shore. And what happens there when they get to the shore? There's the crowd waiting for him. They knew him. And throughout the whole region, I'll just read the verses. They ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was, and whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. The crowds are flocking to Jesus because they know that he can supply every need. Hallelujah. And there are those who have learned from the woman with the hemorrhaging in the story of Jairus that she only touched the hem of his garment, and now they're all doing it. Hallelujah. But if they're touching him in faith, they're receiving according to their needs. And as many as touched him were made whole. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful Lord we serve. And we see in these scriptures tonight how his concern is always for those that are in need, those that are his. He provides every need. Praise the Lord. Amen.